Thanks, Hannah. Okay, so today we're going to talk about Mark 8. If you listen to the podcast from Elizabeth last week, she spoke about the latter half of this chapter, and today we're going to focus on the first part. So I'm going to read from Mark 8, verses 1 to 10. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way, because some of them have come a long distance." His disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Seven," they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them and also and told the disciples to distribute them. These people ate and were satisfied. Afterwards, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present. After he sent them away, is that the end? He got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. Thanks, Jack. Okay, so I'm just going to read some thoughts that I had on this story. And then we've also got some little videos of Jeff and Izzy to share their thoughts as well. So here goes. So the feeding of the 4,000. This was likely to have taken place primarily in a Gentile region. This is the same region that Jesus had healed the man possessed by Legion. Because it was a Gentile region, we see God's grace and Jesus' ministry extending beyond the Jews. It is likely that many of the people coming heard about Jesus from that man and now had an opportunity to meet Jesus for himself. Jesus was setting his strategy, which Paul would follow later. Visit places, preach and teach, and then go back again for more encouragement and follow-up. Once again, Jesus' compassion is highlighted. The people had mostly not eaten for days. Obviously, Jesus' teachings were very powerful, which made them want to keep staying and listening to him. The disciples still didn't seem to get it. You would think that they might just immediately say, "Here's some bread, do another miracle like last time." But this idea was so foreign to their normal human logic that none of them said this, and perhaps even thought about it. While it is only 2 chapters apart from the feeding of the 5,000, we are not sure how much time had elapsed between the two. In verse 6, the crowds were commanded to sit on the ground. No record is shown of an explanation. They needed to obey without necessarily knowing why. This time there were 7 loaves and a few fish. The exact number is not important. Each loaf needed to feed about 600 people and then fill up a very large basket. Jesus blessed the food again, reminding us of the principle of giving thanks before eating. People ate and were satisfied, and there was lots left over. His miracle was more than sufficient. It was abundant. Jesus knows our needs. He can abundantly supply our needs. We have a responsibility to obey his commands, even when we don't know why, and trust that he has a good reason for them. I'm just going to move on to the second part of this chapter. So this is Mark 8, 11 to 13. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus, to test him. They asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, "Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given to it." Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side. So a couple of questions. Why did the Pharisees go to see Jesus? What can we learn about this, about people's motivations? Do you think they told Jesus directly, "We came to argue with you"? Why did they want a sign? How did Jesus feel when they came to him? Why did he not just give them a sign? Was it just this once, or did he never give them a sign? What may have been the difference? The Pharisees were still hostile to Jesus' ministry. Crowds followed Jesus around wherever he went. But not all of the people were welcoming or friendly. Pharisees travelled long distances just to watch Jesus like a hawk and find any excuse to blame him or argue with him in public. Wherever there is a large crowd of people, together there are sure too many people there with their own motivations, sometimes even bad ones. Not everyone goes to church because they want to learn more about God and grow in their relationship with him. The Pharisees had an amazing privilege. Of all the people who have ever lived on the earth, they actually had the chance to see Jesus face to face and listen to his teaching. But they wasted their chance. The Pharisees demanded that Jesus give them a sign. In of itself, this was not a bad request. At the time, Jesus was making lots of claims and promises. It would be natural to want some evidence that Jesus is who he said he was. However, Jesus had already done many signs, and just think of some of the ones that we've looked at in recent chapters. Did these not count? The Pharisees dismissed all the signs that Jesus had already done and kept demanding more. Notice too that their request was not sincere. They were not considering believing in him. It was a challenge, not a genuine desire to learn. Jesus saw through this request. He knew their hearts. He knew that doing a sign for them would not change their minds. It would be like showing off just because he could. Why did Jesus do most of his signs? Most of them were motivated out of compassion. He is not like a trained monkey performing on demand. He did not need to prove himself to them, and indeed nothing he did would have been proof in their minds anyway. This demand is actually very similar to Satan's testing of Jesus in the wilderness. Clearly, Jesus was not swayed by, if you are the Son of God, you will type challenges. In Matthew 12, verse 38 and 40, we see that Jesus said only one sign would be given to the people, and that sign was not immediately given. That sign is the sign of the resurrection. This is the greatest and only proof necessary to show Jesus is who he said he was. So what do we learn from this? We should not challenge or test God. Jesus did what he knew was right, not just what people expected of him. He did not give in to peer pressure of any kind, and we should not either. Invest your time in people who are sincere about learning about God, not into people who seek to challenge or argue you. We too are greatly privileged. Hopefully we all have a Bible. I actually have several Bibles. I was going to tell you about these. This was my Bible given to me by my Nana, and it's really precious to me. It's a bit battered, a bit sun-drenched. As a kid, I used to like looking at the pictures more than anything. But I've always got it, and at the front, I've also got these stickers, which I got when I went to Bible camp as well. So just lovely memories, but a little bit battered. And then I've also got this one. I love pink, so I've got a pink Bible. And Ben actually pointed this out to me when we were at Big Church Day Out. So, it's, again, holds special memories for me. So, like me, I'm sure many of you have different versions of Bibles. So most of us probably have actually multiple Bibles. Bibles on our computers, on our smartphones, on our Kindles. There are many churches and fellowships around where we can go to. We have unprecedented access to Bible teaching. The internet gives us loads of information on any passage we are studying. There are hundreds and thousands of Christian books which we can read. Do you take this for granted? Do you give your complete attention to the sermon on Sundays? Hopefully today. Do you treasure God's word? Do not waste these opportunities God has given you to get to know him better. So those were my thoughts on that story. We're just going to watch the videos of Izzy and Jeff and just get their thoughts as well.